Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I like Wednesdays, Sue. I don't know how you feel about Wednesdays, but I like Wednesdays maybe just a little better than Tuesdays because we're closer to the weekend and we have a lot of fun with Alex Rich like we did in the 4 o'clock hour.
That's true.
And, you know, I still watch this stupid show Survivor, and it's on Wednesdays, and we kind of get together and chill on a Wednesday night. I don't really care as much about the American League Series, so I don't know if I'll watch much baseball tonight. I think they play, and then the Brewers and the Dodgers tomorrow. Disappointed the way that that started because...
It's not good.
No. You know, and there was this whole storyline that could have been there, you know, kind of winning it for Bob Uecker, who passed away. But the Brewers have not looked very good, and the Dodgers are a really good team. I don't want to see the Dodgers in the World Series again.
I know. It's
I didn't want to
snore.
See the Yankees. I got that I wish. Know. But, you know, don't want to see it. So, unfortunately, even as a big baseball fan, probably not going to do too much. Fred, will you watch no matter what? Are you dedicated? Fred says yes, so he's in. I mean, I'm going to sample some of it. There's no doubt about that. Here's Mike Johnson talking about some things, some antics that happened on Capitol Hill last night.
Last night, they played some games. They stormed my office. Maybe you saw some of the video online that they themselves shared, or someone did. They berated a Capitol police officer, screamed at him. He was just merely standing his post. Shows, again, their disdain for law enforcement, as we see all around the country, the Democrats and everyone in that party, screaming, assaulting ICE officers. They did it right here in the Capitol last night. A few members of Congress went into the little foyer of my office and tore down a sign that I had up and just engaged in all sorts of political stunts and antics. They've been doing that every day now, and it shows their desperation.
Such civil discourse on Capitol Hill. Dwayne Patterson back with us from HotAir.com, the host of the Dwayne's World podcast. Dwayne, how are you on this Wednesday?
I'm doing quite well, actually. I am not seeming to engage in the same civil discourse that Democrats are.
Yeah, so here we are, you know, and I thought maybe this thing would be wrapped up by this time. It doesn't look like we're going to have any kind of resolution soon. I don't know where the leverage is. I mean, they think that this healthcare thing is going to work for them. And I talked to Jonathan Martin from Politico earlier this afternoon. You know, if you look at the polling, you look at some of these districts, healthcare does play a role. Maybe there's some pressure from some Republican lawmakers, but it's hard for me to think that the Trump administration is going to say, okay, you're right, we're going to end this thing, but we're also going to do this deal right now on the ACA subsidy. So what's the way out of this right now? Because I think both sides are not ready to cave.
Well, there's the practical way of doing it, and then there is the long-term way to do it and fix the problem so that we don't go through this kind of a circus again. The short-term way, quickly, is they hold their No Kings rally. And once they hold their big No Kings rally this weekend on the National Mall, and Chuck Schumer can look tough to the fever swamp, then he's going to wink, wink, nod, nod as five or six more Democrats in states that have a large military presence that aren't getting paid, they cave and they vote against it, and the whole thing goes away. That's the short-term way out. The long-term way out, as I talked about with former Missouri Senator Jim Talent, I know he's on your show all the time, too.
Yep.
Jim's a good friend. We started to flesh this out yesterday on the podcast. And there is a way to actually break the Senate rules, not just do a nuclear option, but to change the standing rules of the Senate so that it only takes a simple majority on either clean CRs, and they have to be clean CRs, existing funding, or on appropriations bills. And that way, you take the threat of a shutdown away for that kind of purpose. And we talked about how that can actually happen. And the natural pushback is, no, you can't do that. If you do that, the Democrats are going to take that window, and when they get back in power, they're going to put in 15 Supreme Court justices.
Right,
they're going to
right.
do the, you know, they're going to do a, all sorts of number of things, right? Here's the problem. Look at, you just played the clip of the House Democratic side and how crazy the Democrats are acting right now. Do you think if they get back in power, they're not going to just upend all the rules and norms anyway?
No, they will. Yeah, I don't think they'll hesitate.
So why not actually fix the problem and take away, at least for the short and medium term, take away their ability to hold the entire country hostage over something stupid?
Did Senator Talent feel like discussions of those natures were going on Capitol Hill?
In a backhanded way, yes. We both have our people on the Hill that kind of follow what we do and listen to this podcast, and so it's now circulating up there. And this is something the Democrats have no idea that the Republicans are even thinking about.
Yeah, so, you know, on the rest of the politics of that, let's take that particular solution out of the mix just quickly here, because, you know, I can't remember if it was Jonathan or somebody else said, I don't know that a whole lot of people in this country are really, and I know people are affected and some people aren't getting paychecks and we don't want that to happen, but for the normal everyday American who's probably exhausted by the news cycle anyway, I don't even think they care or they're dialed into this right now. Now, these people are going to show up at the No Kings rallies, certainly do, but they're activists anyway, and they're not exactly, these aren't middle-of-the-road Democrats right. who are going to show right. up this weekend. So I don't know that, you know, the Trump administration is losing any political capital. I'm not even sure the Democrats are, just because I'm not sure it's an issue that is grabbing the American people.
Well, and again, it didn't really start happening until this last weekend when the first military payroll got missed. And now what you're going to have is Russ Vogt was the OMB director, was on Charlie Kirk's show, our late colleagues' show on the Salem Radio Network. And he said that he had already basically furloughed permanently 4,000 federal workers. And he indicated that, you know, he being the grim reaper of the federal government, there's a bunch more coming the longer this goes, because they're going to have to do it. So there will be more pain to the Democratic side. But I'm telling you, if you threaten them and you let the Democrats know that we're going to take away the ability for you to filibuster appropriations bills, that's actually something that may be something to have them say, okay, let's not go that road. Let's walk back from that. They actually may break because of that threat alone.
Here's the president today in his advice to Democrats.
The Democrats are getting killed on the shutdown because we're closing up programs that are Democrat programs that we were opposed to. So we're being, and they're never going to come back in many cases. And we're going to have a list of them on Friday, closing up some of the most egregious socialist, semi-communist, probably not full communist, we're saving that for New York, but semi-communist programs, and we're closing them up. We're not closing up Republican programs because we think they work.
I love that, where he goes, we're saving that for New York, when he's weaving there. Look, I can't wait to see that list, so I'd be fine with that. But it is getting nasty, and I'm not sure how we're going to get out of this. But let me take you to No Kings. So I'm sure there's something planned here for St. Louis. I'm looking at Newsweek right now. They have the list of all these things that are happening. Is this going to be one of those things? I don't think the first No Kings rally amounted to a whole lot, did it? They did one in June. Was it the same day that Trump was doing the military stuff?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think this is going to have the same impact. And the reason being, if you looked, I mean, anybody that has even a remote passing interest in anything newsworthy, they may not be following all the nuances of whether it's Chuck Schumer's shutdown or it's Mike Johnson's shutdown or what. They may not be following it the way you and I are following it, or anybody in the audience is following it. But how many people saw what Trump pulled off on the world stage from both Israel and then again in Egypt, and basically showed the world who the big dog was? And once he was able to do that, How small does that make Democrats look?
I think it should make them look very small, right? Yeah, it should make them look small. Look, I even referenced this yesterday. Bill Maher was sitting around on his podcast with William H. Macy, who, by the way, stars in a movie that is based on a guy here from St. Louis, John O'Leary, called Soul on Fire. But they basically said, and they agreed, I was encouraged by Bill Macy saying this, that, you know, no matter what you feel about the guy, when he achieves something of this nature on this level and scale, don't you have to give a little credit? Well, they don't want to do that because of politics. There have been some niceties. Even Hillary Clinton might have said something nice. Tony Blinken took all of the the credit himself. But yeah, that kind of takes a little bit of the edge off the no king stuff, you would think.
Well, see, that's what I'm thinking, is a lot of people are going to give Trump an awful lot of credit for being able to pull this off, something that couldn't have been pulled off before. Remember, the same crowd that is going to be part of this no kings rally, it's the same group of people. These are the people that said, cease fire now, right? You know, the Rashida Tlaib types. These are the same people that wanted Israel to knock it off and we need a free Palestine now. Well, now we actually have a ceasefire.
Yeah, what's the reaction going to be, right? They don't know what to do with themselves.
Crickets, right? It's crickets.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think Trump sucked a lot of wind out of their sails. I could be wrong. But I don't think it's going to be anywhere near as energetic as they think it's going to be. I think there's going to be more people in the media watching it than there are going to be people there.
Okay, I'm going to play a soundbite that I have not played yet this afternoon. It's something maybe I should have saved for audio cut of the day, but this is our former vice president, Dwayne Patterson. I know you've heard this.
Well, some people have actually said I was the most qualified candidate ever to run for president.
I like the some people say. Very nice, but go ahead.
I'm just speaking fact.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Isn't that great?
That's my friend Kenny Wallace laughing there. Can you believe that?
Some people might say that, yes, Kamala, but most other people think you're a moron. And thank God for that. Thank God for that discernment amongst the American people in such record numbers.
Unbelievable. Now, you're in California, where you have this governor's race. I have this amazing audio from this this candidate that went on, Betty Yee, with Piers Morgan, that just got filleted by Piers. I'm going to share a little bit later this hour. But then you got this whole Katie Porter thing.
Hang on 1 second, everybody.
You know, we should put the computer up on the phone.
Yes, yes, we should have. Yeah. Yes. Okay, everybody, I'm not that dark.
It's too dark.
So this is another one of those videos and, you know, things that have gotten out there in the aftermath of some controversy involving this former congressman who is running for governor of your state, California. She's got this reputation for kind of being mean, and she went on with this local, was it a CBS reporter or a local reporter, where she wouldn't answer some questions and some follow-up questions. So she has been in the news cycle here the last week, the national news cycle, Dwayne.
And it doesn't end. Over the weekend, she appeared on another interview in the wake of all these. It's called Inside California Politics, and I think the lady's name was Nikki Lorenzo. And Nikki pressed her 3 or 4 times, so are there more just tell us, are there going to be more videos out there of you being basically a dragon lady? Are there more videos of you berating your staff? And she says, well, I'm just worried about the future, and I admitted I was wrong to my staffer, and, you know, sometimes, you know, people are just not at their best. And the interviewer kept saying, okay, well, I understand all that. You've said that before. Are there going to be more videos dropping? Well, I'm only looking forward to the future. But are there more videos dropping? I'm telling you, I'm only looking for the future. She pressed her 5 times in that interview, are there going to be more videos? And she wouldn't answer the question. And the look of horror on Lorenzo's face, if she would have pressed her 1 more time, a pot of boiling potatoes would have been coming her direction.
But having said all that, I know it's a crowded field, right? There's like 12 candidates or something in this race.
And it's a jungle primary in the state, too.
Which means what?
It means that the top 2 vote-getters, regardless of party, get on the ballot.
Right. Okay. So she could be on the final ballot with a fellow Democrat. Rick Caruso is technically, he's running for governor,
nope.
I thought he was
nope.
doing
it's going to be Steve Hilton. It's going to be Steve Hilton,
okay.
The former Fox guy. He's actually sitting right now as either the number 1 or number 2 vote-getter overall in polling, and it's between Katie Porter, who had it going away, and once she is falling like a rock, we don't know who is going to be against Steve Hilton, but it's she's falling like a rock right now in polling. It's great.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting to see. Now, but you wouldn't expect, Steve Hilton is, he's a Republican. You wouldn't expect a Republican to win the, you know, governor's race in California in the end, would you?
Well, how much time do we have? Because I can explain it. I can explain it in about 2 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. If you take California's vote and you break it up into thirds, a third of the votes cast are L.A. County alone. Another third of the votes cast are the Bay Area, San Francisco and Oakland. The entire rest of the state is the other third of the votes cast, right? So you got two bubbles and then the entire spine of the state. It's a 2-to-1 margin always. The two bubbles vote Democrat and the other third votes Republican. The only catch now is because of those wildfires, because of the homeless problem, because of the riots and all the deportations and all the nonsense going on in L.A., and all of that Malibu land hasn't been rebuilt, and the Palisades haven't been rebuilt, and Pasadena has not been rebuilt because they're not permitting, and that's all a state function. Right now, that L.A. bubble is cracking. And if that L.A. bubble cracks, along with the rest of the state, then you have a scenario where Steve Hilton could win a 55-45 win.
Yes.
It's possible.
Well, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see because I'm looking at his website right now and he's talking about the bureaucracy and the red tape war. And I'll share a quick story. So when all this was happening with COVID a few years ago, remember how we heard that we were running out of oxygen? Well, we were never running out of oxygen. We had plenty of oxygen, but we had, you know, disadvantage in converting liquid oxygen to, you know, breathable oxygen. So I have a friend in Vegas who works in this industry. And, you know, he deals, so when you see these big tanks at hospitals or they use oxygen, nitrogen for a lot of things in products that are made. But this became an issue during COVID. Why is there not more of a capability in California? And his answer was because it takes about 6 years from start to finish to start a plant and to get the permitting and to get the bigger tank. He said it's ridiculous what they have to go through. So a lot of the smaller hospitals are sometimes grandfathered out. But the level of red tape that we have in Missouri, for example, compared to California, you got it on steroids. And that's one thing that's being seemingly discussed in this governor's race, right?
And it matters, too, because you've got two oil refineries that are about ready to move out and shutter in California because it's too hard to stay up with their California regulations and do business here. So if gas skyrockets because we now have to truck it in from other states because we can't refine it here anymore because of the Democratic governance of this state, then you've got a scenario where real people are hurt and they're just tired of it. And You start to weave a scenario where it might be a perfect storm for the right candidate.
All right, well, remember this conversation. I find it fascinating. I mean, from looking from afar and just seeing Katie Porter, I don't see anything about that woman to like nothing whatsoever. And if you're kind of ranking the two worst looking politicians that are either governors or running for governor, J.B. Pritzker and Katie Porter might have a tough runoff there.
Who do you think is leaking these videos? It's her own staff that's doing it. It's not. This isn't a Republican hit job.
Yeah.
It's her own people. They can't. Nobody likes her.
Yeah, I mean, this certainly is being exposed. So you would think that the polling would still continue to drop. It'll be fascinating to watch. So when's essentially the primary for that? Is that coming up here in a couple of weeks?
No, I think
this
it's
is
in.
No.
We have the general election in late 26, November 26. I think the primary is March.
Yeah, right. Spring primary. That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure I wasn't completely off the mark. Dwayne, always great to have you on. Dwayne Patterson. You can find him on the Dwayne's World podcast on the X, formerly Twitter. And we'll have you back soon. I appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thanks, bud.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah.
You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I live in the Rockwood School District, and we are not the only school district trying to increase a tax levy in the election coming up in a couple of weeks. But Dr. Curtis Kane, who is the superintendent of Rockwood, is going to join me on Prop S. And, you know, it's a little bit of a hefty tax increase. I said earlier, I'm going to vote for it. I have a daughter who's 10 years old. I think it's important. But it is not an insignificant ask. So we'll talk to Dr. Kane about that here in a few minutes. I have to play this, though, because now she's not a big player. I think she's polling at 3 or 4%. But for whatever reason, Piers Morgan decided to invite Betty Yee on his show last night and have a little fun with some questions about transgender issues. And it did not go very well for Betty Yee.
They are now part of, I mean, they have been through a transition, a physical transition, and I do believe that they should be able to participate with other female athletes.
Wow. Well, you've got the Olympics coming to California, to LA. So are you suggesting that you would allow trans athletes to compete in women's sport in the Olympics if you were governor?
Well, I think there's still a lot of discussion that needs to happen. I think there's a lot of information we need to learn about what's really happening with the ability of trans athletes to compete. But my statement is about being able to be sure that they can compete. And right now, there's
no. But my question is whether you think they should compete in women's sport in the Olympics, because it's coming to LA, so it's relevant.
I think transgender female athletes are women athletes, and they
wow.
should be able to compete.
Really?
He follows up on this, and this is always, it goes back to the question that I asked Riley Gaines when I interviewed her. And, you know, I've asked other people this question too. Why is it that they can't, just for a little bit, now some have, like Gavin Newsom has, but why can't you address the issue of fairness in a fair way and say, yeah, you know what, you're right about this. And she kind of does in a backhanded way, but still doesn't want to admit it.
So if you were governor of California, you would support biological males who identify as women competing in women's sport in the Olympics?
They are now identified as transgender female.
And you think that makes, and you think it's fair that they should then compete in women's sport?
I think they should be able to compete in women's sports, but I also think that there is still some discussion about whether they should compete in the same field. But I just want them to be able to participate.
Sure, I'm sure there's you do. A lot of why, out of interest, why do you think we separate the sexes in the Olympics?
Well, because they do come with different attributes in terms of physicality. And
well, are you accept yeah. that we separate the sexes because men have a physical advantage over women?
I know about an advantage in some sports, yes. In other sports, maybe not.
Okay, then he had to keep going here.
Can you think of a single sport in the Olympics where men would not have an advantage over women, with the exception potentially of archery?
You know, I think you can see female athletes where, particularly in track and field, where agility is
what?
Probably...
Hang on, are you suggesting that women... So hang on. Do you think that women could compete against men in track and field, like in 100 meters, 200 meters, 10,000 meters, do you?
Perhaps. You know, I'm not a sports expert.
But... Of course they couldn't. Have you seen the times that women and men record?
It's just too easy. It really is. I said this, you know, we're going to talk about Rockwood here. My daughter's in Rockwood Swim Club. She's not doing as much as she used to. But I remember being down in Eureka, and they listed all of the women's and the girls and the boys' times, you know, separately. They had them up on the rafters for, you know, whatever champions and best times, record set times. And it was dramatic. That difference between boys and girls. But poor Betty Yee. Now, again, she's only polling at like 3%.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Audio cut of the day coming up here before we wrap up the show on 97.1 FM Talk. And then I'm not sure if Fred has anyone set for tomorrow or not. Oh, yeah. We have Attorney General Catherine Hanaway is going to be here. We also have the roundtable set for Friday. Jane will make a triumphant return after being away. I think she was even overseas for a little bit. She's also secured me some Apple Jacks Pop-Tarts, which is very important because I can't find them anywhere, and I'm in a crisis mode right now. The mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower, will be here, and former state senator Jeff Smith, a roundtable veteran, all here on Friday afternoon. I'd like to welcome to the show Dr. Curtis Kane, who is the superintendent of my my school district, the Rockwood School District. My daughter, Alexa, is a very proud Stanton Stallion in the Rockwood School District. Dr. Kane, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Before we get to Proposition S, let's talk a little baseball here because you're a Milwaukee native. I've lived there for 9.5 years. My wife is a Milwaukee native. I root for the Brewers outside of the Cardinals, but things didn't get off to a great start at Miller Park the last two nights, did they, Dr. Kane?
I don't know how else to describe it, but to completely agree with what you just stated.
You know, and they swept, you know this, they swept the Dodgers in the regular season, and maybe the odds were kind of stacked. I mean, they can still get back into this, but I was rooting and kind of am still rooting for two teams who have never won a championship. See, I think Seattle and Milwaukee, even though I'm sure the networks wouldn't love that, I think that would be a great World Series, wouldn't it?
It would be. It would be. Look, the Cards will be back at some point. Let there be no doubt. But it would be great to see that. Absolutely.
So let's talk about Proposition S. You know, I've made the case many times over the years that local elections are sometimes more important for people to participate in because they have more of a direct correlation on your life than some of the national elections. That could be a separate debate. But you do have a tax levy coming up here in a few weeks, Proposition S. I have already told my listeners I'm voting for it because I believe in Rockwood. I love, you know, what my daughter's experiencing. And, you know, it's a little bit of an extra chunk in your escrow account every month. Now, I don't have $1.5 million home or $2 million home, so it's less. But I've heard from some people saying, wow, that's a pretty, you know, steep increase in the levy. So I want to give you a chance to kind of make the case here because this is for salaries and to keep the district competitive. But as you know, not everyone's. And usually my instinct is to vote against a tax increase unless there's ROI. And I think there is ROI in this particular case.
Well, look, I think the property values are absolutely impacted by what's going on within school districts themselves. I think that your property value is actually reflective of what you're seeing within the schools. And I just want our community to know that we have not taken this lightly. There's been a lot of serious reflection and investigation before we would put something of this significance on the ballot itself. And we understand how sensitive a time that this happens to be, but we fully recognize that we are in an increasingly competitive environment in St. Louis County. And so we actually have information on our website where there's literally a Proposition S tax calculator that can be utilized. You can run the numbers yourself to see what the impact will be on your county appraised value itself.
Yeah, I see that on the web because I'm on the website right now. That's nice. I did not notice that, so I'm glad that you pointed that out so people can go on and do that. You know, you would be, you know, what I said earlier, just being honest, I mean, would I be as prone to support this if I didn't have a student that's in the district right now? I mean, maybe I would because I know it's for, you know, future generations, but you can understand how someone who doesn't have a kid right now and say, whoa, that's a pretty steep increase in what I'm going to pay every month. Maybe I'm not so sure about this.
Sure, I can respect that. And I also want our members of our senior community to fully understand that there's a tax freeze that is in place not only in St. Louis, but in Jefferson County as well. And they are more than eligible and welcome to, in fact, apply for that senior tax freeze. That's an opportunity that has never been available to our seniors for consideration and actually to impact their respective homes, right? They are absolutely valued and in many ways, invaluable members of our community. And so we understand that incomes look different. This is absolutely a tool that our seniors are able to utilize here in the Rockwood School District and elsewhere.
So explain the money here. When they say like 0.45 to the tax levy, right? So that's where you go to the tax rate calculator and you see how much you would have to pay. But with the money generated, what's the estimate on that? And then this is mainly for, is it for staff purposes in payroll or is it other things that could be included here?
That's a great question. So, yes, we are looking to engage in some salary adjustments for a variety of positions. Actually, we're talking all positions within our school district, but we're going to engage in a comparative market analysis. A comp study is going to help answer the question of where the dollars, in fact, need to go. We know that we have some groups that are in more need than other groups, and we want to be as competitive as we possibly can within St. Louis County. So, I do want to be very frank and let folks know it's not going to make us a top 3 to 5 school district as it relates to competitiveness, but it will make us more competitive. We also have a number of employees that are full-time or full-time equivalent staff that don't currently qualify for full health benefits.
Okay.
And we want to close that gap because we are very much aware of the fact that we have other school districts in St. Louis County that right now, today, are able to provide that for those employees. So it's not just about recruiting. It's also about retaining
those desperately
needed staff members.
Well,
one last piece really quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
We are looking to bring two more school safety officers on board within our school district. This was a very large swing that we made 3 years ago. Very excited and appreciative of the Board of Education being supportive of that. But we have four armed school safety officers in our school district right now, on top of our contingent of school resource officers within our school district. But they make their way around each one of our quadrants, and they're in our elementary schools or around our elementary schools literally over the course of the day. They have been an absolutely fantastic addition. I'll tease your baseball analogy. They've been a grand slam. We would love to take that number from 4 to 6 in our school
district. And I support that wholly, and I recognize it because I used to. My daughter's too cool now to let dad drop her off at school, but for a couple of years, I was dropping her off, and I always saw the presence, and believe me, as a parent, and it's unfortunate because, you know, Alexa comes home and she talks about the intruder drills, and it's just sad that these kids have to even go through that, but it's the reality of where we are. On the retention issue, my son's a teacher now, Dr. Kane, in the city of Chicago, and, you know, different climate in urban America, but it's tough. I mean, I can hear him in his third year of teaching. He's already worn out, and that concerns me. And teachers have a lot of stress and all this. So is retention one of the biggest challenges that you have? You've been around education a long time.
It is absolutely an ongoing challenge that we are seeing. We just want to remain competitive, right? We want folks to literally come to this school district and know that they can stay the entirety of their career. It's literally an amazing place to work. It's a fantastic place to live. But we need to make sure that we are able to continue to take care of the folks, the staff members that take care of our kids.
Well, I already told you I'm going to vote for it. I hope other people take a look at the website and they consider a vote for Prop S as well. Election Day is coming up in a couple of weeks. My only contingency would be that Dr. Christine Starnes, who's at Stanton, is one of my favorite people on the planet. She's got to get a raise. How about that? Can we cut that deal? At least put her into consideration.
It will absolutely be a part of the conversation.
I figured I wasn't going to commitment, but we do love Dr. Starnes, and she is awesome. Dr. Kane, thank you so much. Maybe the Brewers will have a miraculous turnaround.
Sounds good. We'll look forward to that.
Keep me posted. Thank you. Take care. I'm going to bring the show a bit full circle here before audio cut of the day, just because I think it's a story that people should hear about, and they may wonder, because people go missing. Like when I went missing, for example, from the radio over the summer, my favorite story is some guy called Trisha and insisted that I was dead and that the station was covering it up. This dude needed proof of life, and I think they provided it. But this was, you know, somewhat of a shocker when we found out from St. Louis Magazine. I don't even know if the Post has covered this yet, that Rennie Knott. They have?
Yeah.
Okay, so Rennie Knott has parted ways with KSDK. Is there any other information in there?
I have it pulled up. And
right, let me do it here. We'll just do it live. So the story in St. Louis Magazine is morning show anchor Rennie Knott wasn't on the air this morning on Channel 5 KSDK, while reporter Mercedes McKay told the audience she was filling in for the 21-year station veteran. The reality appears to be more complicated. Station brass announced at a staff meeting that Knott is no longer with the station. Knott declined comments, saying he would defer to the station. The Tegna-owned NBC affiliate did not respond. So if we go now to STL Today, am I assuming that Holloman did a piece?
Yeah, you would think, but no.
Oh, it's not him.
It's not him. It's Daniel Niemann. And...
Oh, well, he's another guy that does the media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But that's pretty much the same thing. They say KSDK officials told staff that he was no longer associated with the station.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The Facebook page is just, and I think this was mentioned earlier on the show, that people were kind of flooding the Facebook page. You know, my guess is, and there's no way to know this, is that this was a contract deal and it was, you know, somewhat money related. I don't know if a contract was up for renewal. Sometimes you're offered a lot less in a contract and maybe you walk away. It's just, it happened so quickly here and suddenly. And, you know, I'm going to have... John Pertzborn on the show this week. John, and I made this point earlier, and I really mean this, that John's a guy who's retiring from Fox 2, and I love John, and he's got some Wisconsin connections too, which is one of the reasons we connected when I first came back to St. Louis. But, you know, my concern with losing people like Rennie, who was a really good sports anchor before they moved him to the news, and with a guy like Pertzborn, is the people that are getting these gigs at local TV, they're basically coming out of J school. It used to be when I went to journalism school, you'd go work in, you know, Fort Smith, Arkansas or someplace
right.
like that.
Tifton, Georgia.
Right.
That's
and
where
you,
I was.
You'd cut your teeth, you'd get
yes.
experience, and then maybe you'd be good enough to come to St. Louis. Well, all you have to do is turn on the local news, and you do have a few people who have gravitas and have experience, like Pertzborn or Rennie Knott, and surrounded by a bunch of people who really don't even know what they're doing in many situations, unfortunately. So I hope it wasn't anything that is, you know, I don't want to plant ideas into people's mind, but you know what I mean. I don't know him very well, and my guess is he doesn't like me as much as I like him because I've had some disagreements with his co-anchor, Michelle Lee, and I'm sure Rennie is not fond, I'm just guessing, of my politics, but I always liked the guy. I thought he was really good at what he did, and kind of a shocker here that he's out of the market, or
yeah,
out of that station.
My guess would be he's too expensive, and that's
yeah.
it.
And he'll, you know, he'll find something. Something will
I hope
next,
so, because he seems like a nice guy.
I think, I'll ask Pertzborn. I think Pertzborn is ready to say, okay, I'm done. I'm moving on. I'm not too far away from that
Pertzborn
feeling.
And I used to be a guest on their show when he was Great Day St. Louis with the former Miss America, Debbie Turner.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean,
goes way back.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, Debbie Turner was at Mizzou when I was at Mizzou.
There you go.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember her being one of the, I think she was a homecoming queen, too.
Probably.
If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And then she came back and she was the homecoming yep. grand marshal and all that. All right, let's see here. I feel like I had one more story that I was going to talk about. Oh, there's this. Okay, yeah, there is. And maybe I should have saved this for tomorrow because it's kind of a fun story, but you tell me. I'm always a little suspicious about stories like this just because it seems so crazy. So this is the story about a guy by the name of Tony DiNardo, who is a marathon runner, and he wants to run a marathon in every state.
Oh,
so
nice.
They live in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Kittenning, Pennsylvania. I'm not sure where that is. So they leave on September 26th from that city in Pennsylvania, and they're heading to Keene, New Hampshire for a marathon, right? So early in the morning on the 26th of September, they drive east. They stop for gas and a bathroom break after about 100 miles.
Okay.
Right? So Tony gets out of the van. When he looks up on top of the van, he sees the family's 8-year-old cat, Ray Ray. I love that name. I just got to tell you. Ray Ray is perched atop the roof of the van. Tony's laughing and floored. He calls his wife out and says, come and see for yourself. So she comes out and he's
Poor
saying
Ray
all
Ray.
These things are going through my head. The roads that we've traveled on, the semi-trucks,
oh,
the hills,
gosh.
The stop signs. How in the hell did this cat stay on there? And he says he was completely unfazed. He's stretching like he just got up from a nap. And I know cats because I have 3 of them and I can just kind of see that.
Yes.
So his daughter's in the back seat. And all of a sudden, she's got the cat in her arms, and it's just kind of crazy. So, you know, they're worried at first. They're like, well, what if Ray Ray had fallen off? I guess they had luggage that was strapped to the roof of the van. Their theory is that the cat might have lodged himself next to it somehow because there were claw marks on some of the luggage. They think he was holding on.
Well, yeah, we're going 70 miles an hour.
And they also think he had to have been hunkered down because think about it. If you drive by a van and there's a cat on top of it and you see it,
yes.
you're going to honk and you're going to point
yes.
and people are going to... The driver's going to say, what the hell are you honking about? But you're still going to honk, right? How crazy is that
That's
story?
That's nuts. Stand by. Playback
ready. Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, Sue, this one's for you. I know you love a little Ooh. RFK Jr. and
yes.
his wife, Cheryl Hines, who I always loved in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
She's so nice.
Well, she was on The View, and she had to
oh,
battle with the team on The View about her hubby today.
But the problem, respectfully, is that your husband is the least qualified Department of Health and Human Services head that we've had in history.
I think that's a very dangerous...
Why is he less qualified than an economist?
I think
How is that
he
possible?
Is less qualified.
He has spent his career studying toxins, studying people's health.
It has also spread a lot of misinformation, a lot of chaos, a lot of confusion. And I think it's just a very dangerous thing. I say it with yeah. the utmost respect.
Some of it's good and some of it's not. That's
well,
the point.
Well, listen, we all have different views here.
Yes.
And when you say, you know, misinformation, disinformation, we could go back to COVID
yes,
when...
We can. Yes, we
when,
can.
May I
finish?
Please.
When people, Fauci, people were saying when you get the vaccine, you cannot transmit COVID. It will stop COVID. And that was disinformation, but misinformation.
We were also still learning about it. It was a novel virus.
No, we were not.
No,
this was the vaccine came out and we knew very quickly that summer. That thing rolls out in May. We knew very quickly that it was not preventing transmission. Look, I have a personal connection to this. I've told this story. I was doing an ad campaign getting paid by the federal government to promote the vaccine. When I realized the vaccine was not doing what it was intended or sold as, I backed off and asked for changes. So that's... And Cheryl handled that
so beautifully,
much nicer than most people would have.
Yes, and P.S., why are you going to have her on there and then just attack her?
That's Sunny Hostin.
It's ridiculous.
And then they wonder, you know, they have a conversation about why Republicans won't come on the show.
Are you kidding me?
Get more at 971talk.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.